Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, inviting you to our virtual living room, where we discuss today's issues and how those issues relate to the Holy Scriptures. So sit back, relax, and engage in conversation with us.
America's teen pregnancy rate is rising for the first time since 1991. Did you know that the U.S. has the highest rate of teen pregnancy than any other developed nation in the world? Did you know that one in three teens in the U.S. will become pregnant? Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. The Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. I am Josiah, and welcome to our virtual living room where we examine recent events as they pertain to the Holy Scriptures. At this time, allow me to introduce the brothers that are with me in the virtual living room. We have both these brothers are right here in Atlanta, Georgia. We have Brother Kabar. Most High in Christ bless you, brother. How you doing today?
Hey, Most High in Christ bless. Glad to be back. And hello and shalom and peace to all the listeners.
And we also have with us Brother Kazakia. How you doing today, brother?
Hey, shalom, brothers. Most High in Christ bless all of y'all. Thank y'all once again for having me on the show.
Now, brothers, I'm sure that you have read this article on teen pregnancy, the one at Gloucester High in Massachusetts. It's the article from Time, and I'd like to just go ahead and read just a little bit of this so that our listeners have a little bit of background in what we're going to be talking about today. And this article is dated Wednesday, June 18, 2008, and it reads, "As summer vacation begins, 17 girls at Gloucester High School are expecting babies, more than four times the number of pregnancies the 1,200-student school had last year. Some school officials started looking into the matter as early as October, as an unusual number of girls began filing into the school clinic to find out if they were pregnant. By May, several students had returned multiple times to get pregnancy tests, and on hearing the results, some girls seemed more upset when they weren't pregnant than when they were," Sullivan says. "All it took was a few simple questions before nearly half the expecting students, none older than 16, confessed to making a pact to get pregnant and raise their babies together. Then the story got worse. We found out that one of the fathers is a 24-year-old homeless guy," the principal says, shaking his head. Now, that is probably one of the worst instances, example stories of teen pregnancy I've ever heard in my life. And, you know, early in my life, the first thing that I remember about teen pregnancy back in my hometown was I had an older cousin that was living with us. And just before she graduated high school, she became pregnant, and my mother was absolutely furious. And, I mean, she pissed a fit, and she made her life difficult, you know. But my cousin had the fortitude and the ambition and desire to go ahead and graduate from high school, to work, to get her home place. You know, she got her own car. She pulled herself by the bootstraps, and she did not get pregnant again during her teenage years and even into her young adult years, went ahead and graduated from college. So in many ways, you know, her story is a success story. You know, so, you know, I'd like for you brothers to kind of share maybe anything that you could think of, you know, from your life, any instances of a teen pregnancy, whether it's a success story in some ways or whether it was one of those things that just really ended up being a real bad story. Can you brothers think of anything like that that you, you know, from your lives?
Not off the head right now. I can probably get back with you on that, but
okay.
I have seen, you know, of course, in my high school years, I've seen instances of teen pregnancy, and mm-hmm. unfortunately, they weren't success stories.
Okay.
Okay. Just speaking on that same note, you know, I can't say that I've been, you know, I've known females in general who you know, that has happened to, and 9 times out of 10 the cases, I mean, speaking back, you know, as far as my high school years, and 9 times out of 10, you know, it was a case where, you know, they may have felt that they was close to a certain guy or felt that they was in love with a certain guy, but, you know, the foundation for a solid relationship just wasn't there, and 9 times out of 10, you know, the female is winding up raising this child alone. And, you know, you don't find too many cases. You have, you know, certain rare cases where they actually stay together and make a family in the end. But I can't say that I've personally, you know, known of or experienced in, you know, any of those type of stories myself, you know, just hearing about it.
Right. You know, something else that I heard recently, it seems, and I hesitate to call it a trend, but it's something that I didn't think was would happen all that often. And that is where you have young girls, where as long as they're home, they're fine. You know, nothing happens. But once they go off to college, almost as soon as it's freshman year seems to be the defining moment. And freshman year, they end up getting pregnant, you know. And I don't know, you know, I assume that maybe it's just the peer pressure. You're there alone and you don't have the parental guidance. Nobody's telling you what time to come in. You know, your first time having that kind of independence, you're just not able to handle it very well. You know, maybe that's what's going on with that.
You know, when you get into the, you know, the story that you just read, going into that second paragraph, if you begin to get into that paragraph right there and read some of the comments and the quotes that's there, it really gets to the crux of the matter as far as why these type of situations happen, why teen pregnancy happens. Because, you know, in all actuality, the actual teen getting pregnant is the end result of a long process, of a process of events that happened before then. And then the result of those process of events is that the teen winds up pregnant alone without a fatherless child and a single mother. But that's the end of the process.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you on that. And, you know, in that process, part of probably what's being left out is proper education about these kinds of things, you know, because, you know, forgive me for bringing it up, but, you know, there's science that's involved in this, and if you don't understand the science, then perhaps you don't really understand what all is going into. Now, we understand that some of these girls at Gloucester High School, they actually wanted to get pregnant. About half of them, I guess, actually wanted to get pregnant. But for those kids that don't want to get pregnant, maybe they don't really understand the consequences because they haven't been taught at home, they haven't been taught at school, they don't understand contraceptives, et cetera, et cetera.
Or it could be that they do understand and they don't want to deal with those particular circumstances right then and there in life. So they're choosing to abstain from, you know, premarital sex, things of that nature.
Well, you know, that's a very good point, very good point. Let me read another little excerpt here. It says here, even with national data showing a 3% rise in teen pregnancies in 2006, the first increase in 15 years, Gloucester isn't sure it wants to provide easier access to birth control. All right? Now, considering that, you know, it's on the rise, why is it that you wouldn't want to provide access to birth control? Because obviously, these children are having sex. You know, that's obvious. And that is obvious also. That is not stopping. So doesn't it go to reason that with better sex education, these children will understand how pregnancy happens and will be more apt to prevent pregnancy? And with that in mind, shouldn't it be mandatory for all public schools to have sex education as part of their mandatory classes, and maybe as early as middle school?
That's a good question.
What do you think, Kabar?
Well, you know, the thing is that the whole issue of birth control, and, you know, let's better educate them and give them birth control, you know, and that may solve the issue. And in all actuality, it's not, because the birth control is really a Band-Aid a very weak and temporary solution to a greater problem. And that, that birth control is really not going to have much of an impact or the impact that people think it's going to have. And that's not really the issue, the birth control. And that's not something, that should be focused on, because it sort of gives the idea that, listen, we as a society and a community have relented and basically accepted the fact that, you know, these teen pregnancies are going to go on and we can't really do anything about it. And the only solution is just to, you know, help them deal with it and let them go on and make these foolish decisions.
Okay. All right. Kazaki, you have anything to add to that?
Well, no, and not all teenagers, but some teenagers, when they see, okay, my school is giving me contraceptives or giving me access to contraceptives, access to birth control, to some teenagers, it's a green light to go ahead on and have sex. But I got to emphasize the fact that it's the job of the parent to teach and to educate their child about these things. Like the scripture tells us in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the point of why this particular scripture comes to mind is the fact that parents, we have the responsibility of teaching and training our children as far as what to do, what not to do, how we're supposed to be, how we're not supposed to be, and above and beyond what the Lord expects of us and what the Lord does not expect of us. And right about now, premarital sex, that is a form of fornication, and that's something that the Heavenly Father tells us not to do. I also like to bring up, just right quick if I could, in Ecclesiastes in the Bible, chapter 7, I believe, and verse 23, verse 23 and 24, it says, hast thou children? Instruct them and bow down their neck from their youth. Hast thou daughters? Have a care of their body and show not thyself cheerful toward them. So the Lord is telling us, do you have children? Teach them and instruct them and humble them from their youth as a child so that when they get to these ages of 14, 15, and 16, they already know the consequences for their actions and what they do and what this can lead to.
All right, very good, brother. Oh, well, somebody's at the door. Hold on just a second. Okay, the visitor just come in. Go ahead and give us your name and go ahead with your comment or question. Visitor with telephone number ending in 389.
Oh, I'm sorry. That must be me. How you doing? Shalom, most son of Christ's name. This is Ash, just listening in. How you doing, brothers?
Just fine, Ash. How are you?
I'm cool, man. This is the, you know, brother from England just listening to the show, just taking in what's going on. My computer's not up and running at the moment, but I'm listening to the show. But if there's anything that I need to add, I'll come in.
Okay. Well, brother, we're definitely happy to have you here with us today in the virtual living room. Yeah, it's been a while since I talked to you. How things been over there?
Yeah, things is fine. Everything is running fine, brother. Everything is okay. So one of these topics that you're touching on that seems to be one of the major problems over here in the UK, because over here in the UK, you have, in the UK, you have one of the highest rate of teenage pregnancies in Europe. And as a matter of fact, that's amongst our people, so-called Negroes, the Jamaicans over here, and the West Indians, that were colonized over here on the islands here in the UK. There's a massive epidemic of sexual promiscuity over here amongst our people here in the UK. So, you know, this topic is very good, man.
Well, you know, that's something that Kazaki and I kind of touched on just prior to the program, that whenever we have these different kinds of social ills come up, they seem to be more prevalent in our community than any other community.
It sure is. You know, like I said, over here, and especially in this, like in the South London area, here in the UK, in South London, you know, there's a high volume of so-called West Indians and Negroes that live within that vicinity, and the sexual promiscuity amongst them is very, very, very high, and the rate of teenage pregnancy has soared rapidly over the last 2 to 5 years. you know, amongst our people. So it's definitely a problem that needs to be addressed. But the way how they're trying to address these particular ills and these problems concerning our people here in this community is concerning their laws and their rules and their regulations, and the way how these civil liberty groups over here and pressure groups are dealing with it. But as we know, we're here on the radio, and the scriptures, the Bible, which is a guide, that's what's going to guide our people, and that's going to lead them to the right way of doing things.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, as I was stating earlier, you know, things were a little bit different, you know, whereas the girl got pregnant and, you know, it was a shame. She was ashamed. In some instances, she felt ostracized and so forth. But see, now, over time, things have changed.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how it is in the UK, but in the United States, things have changed, where in many, many instances, families and communities are very, very accepting of these pregnancies. It's not a shame. They don't really view it as a problem. They just simply see it as, here's a new baby, here's a new life, and it's a celebration. Okay, but why shouldn't this new life be celebrated? You know, let me bring out just one more little blurb out of this article. Obviously, these girls have made a pregnancy pact. It's one thing that it states, and it says the girls who made the pregnancy pact, some of whom, according to Sullivan, reacted to the news that they were pregnant with high fives and plans for baby showers. Okay, so they're glad. They're very happy that they were pregnant. So what has transpired over time so that, you know, these young girls have gone from, you know, a few decades ago from being shamed and ostracized, from having some tremendous difficulties surrounding these pregnancies outside of marriage, these teenage pregnancies, to now they're having high fives and planning baby showers, and they're very happy about this. What's happened?
You know,
there's a scripture that the brother was going through. Was that Ecclesiastes 7, the 7th chapter?
Yeah, I was in there.
There's another one in Ecclesiastes 42:9, if I can read that, if you may. Ecclesiastes 42:9. It says, the father waketh for the daughter when no man knoweth, and the care for her taketh away sleep. When she is young, lest she pass away the flower of her age, and being married, lest she should be hated. So the scriptures is clearly telling you there, when it says the father waketh for the daughter when no man knoweth. A man who has a child, who has a girl child, he is going to go through turmoil when she's out of the house. And what's happened is a lot of our men, the men who are supposed to be the leaders of our nation, they've completely disregarded the seriousness of having a daughter. That's why you see a lot of these young girls out there in the clubs late at night, you know, shaking their thing, doing their thing, because the fathers don't have that care for their daughters anymore. They don't care about their daughters anymore. They don't have that responsibility as a father figure to guide them and teach them and have that care over their body, like the scriptures say. It's not there anymore. So there's no fear that these young girls have. They don't fear anything. They, like the scriptures say, fear every man his father and his mother in Leviticus. So they're just out, buck wild, going crazy, having sex. And then you also have some of the fathers who are out with their young daughters out in the club, you know, bumping and grinding on young men and giving them the wrong advice. So just by disregarding the guide that we're supposed to be following, which is the Bible, they've lost that. And by losing that, you get the recompense from what you see, these young teenage pregnancies and these sexual transmitted diseases amongst young teenagers all over the world.
Okay, very, very good point. It's very well stated, brother. And I do have a question for you, but before we get to that question, apparently somebody at the door, hold on just a second. The visitor just came in at area code 404. Go ahead with your comment or question.
I'll wait for a second. You can go ahead with your question. This is Kadar calling in.
and I wanted to bring out another point as time goes on.
Okay, Shalom, bro. Question for Kazakia. You heard what Ash had to say, and I think that was right on point. But one thing that I would like to kind of interject is, in addition to all the responsibilities that a father has to his daughter, doesn't he have a responsibility to teach her about sex? Because obviously this is happening, okay? And no matter how much you try to restrain the child and tell them, you know, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that, shouldn't he also equip her with contraceptives so that when she, if and when she does go out and she happens to yield to that pressure, that she doesn't end up getting pregnant?
Well, let's see what the law says about that. Of course, the fathers do have a responsibility for teaching and training their daughters as well as their sons. But now let's see what the father should be teaching, or how the father should teach it, according to the scriptures. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read from verses 2 to verse 5. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. And what we're having right now with these with these premarital sex and these high incidences of teen pregnancy, that's a form of fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So as a father, what a father is supposed to be doing, supposed to be teaching, instructing his young daughter, is how to possess her vessel, meaning her body, in sanctification and order, uprightly, righteously. And how that happens, or how that is done, is that he teaches his daughter, hey, marriage is an honorable thing, like the scripture says. Now is not the time for you to be having sex. Now is the time for you to be learning the scriptures, getting your education, learning the scriptures, applying the scriptures. And if there is a man that is interested in you, in you, then I'm going to evaluate this man and make sure he is a man of the Lord. And if he is a man of the Lord, then the time will come when y'all get married, and then that's when that sex starts, and not before then. Because, like the scripture says, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, meaning his body, and sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. The point here is in verses 4 and 5. Now, in verse 5, it says, not in the lust of concupiscence, which concupiscence means extreme sexual desires. So now, we're not supposed to treat ourselves that way, use our vessels in that manner. We're supposed to keep our vessels holy and upright, because our vessels, our bodies, belong to the Heavenly Father. They're not ours. They belong to the Lord. So while we have these bodies, we're supposed to glorify the Heavenly Father in our bodies, in our vessels. And that also is a scripture in 1 Corinthians. So as a father, this is what he's supposed to be teaching his daughter.
Okay. All right. Very good, brother. Thank you. Thanks so much for that. Let me read another excerpt from this article. It says, after nurse practitioner Kim Daly had administered some 150 pregnancy tests at Gloucester High Student Clinic, she and the clinic's medical director, Dr. Brian Orr, a local pediatrician, began to advocate prescribing contraceptives regardless of parental consent. Now, you know, to a lot of people, it seems like this might be a good move, because, you know, you may have some parents that they object to their children using contraceptives or not using, but to even having in their possession contraceptives, because they know that if they have in their possessions, then that might increase the likelihood. But then you have other parents or people at the school who understand a little bit more about what these kids are actually doing and what they're going through and so forth, that they're looking at the situation and say, hey, listen, this kid is having sex anyhow. They need contraceptives. So in a situation like that, wouldn't it be a prudent move on the part of the administrators at the school, the people, that the health experts to go ahead and administer these contraceptives, you know, make sure these children have what they need so they don't get pregnant? Kabar, how would you respond to that?
No, I don't. It's not going to have the effect that it would seem that it will have, because indirectly it's promoting promiscuity among young adults. You know, if you go back into that former, that second paragraph, in one of the sentences it says, in any case, many residents worry that the problem goes much deeper, right? That's the second paragraph of that story. And you jump down
right.
to the last sentence. It says, families are broken, says school superintendent Christopher Farmer. Many of our young people are growing up directionless, and that's where the real problem lies. The problem is that the children aren't being taught the right way to go, aren't being raised and sent in a direction that their lives should go in. When you go into Deuteronomy chapter 6, you start at verse 4 and on down to verse 7, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So that's going toward all the parents, that they are supposed to obey God. Now, as parents who are supposed to obey God's commandments, what are they supposed to do? Go to the next verse. Verse 7, it says, And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. When a parent does that, and equips their child with the understanding of the scriptures, guidance and direction as far as how their life is supposed to be lived, then the child, when they leave the home, has the understanding to make the right decisions and choices. This man, the superintendent, Christopher Farmer, can easily see that it's the families and it's the parents where the real mm-hmm. issue and problem lies. And that's mm-hmm. why he's letting you know, because these children are growing up directionless, that's why they make this pact. Now, just as one quick point on the pact. The reason these children are coming amongst themselves and making this pact and saying, listen, we're going to raise our children together is because they feel, as a generation, that they have been abandoned by their parents and that nobody loves them. And they're deciding amongst themselves as children to love each other and raise and have their own family amongst each other when they have these children. And that's the deeper psychological impact that's going on with the teens and the young adults of America today.
Brother, that was very well stated. You sure you haven't been studying this like for a couple of years?
It's all praise to the Most High. That's the understanding that comes out of the scriptures through the Spirit
right.
of Christ.
Right, right. Let me ask you something, though. Kazakia was bringing out the fact that you're not supposed to be involved in concupiscence, this obsessive sexual desire, you know. But we do understand that none of us are perfect and we've all committed sin, and oftentimes that's a sin that we commit, you know, it's fornication. Now, you brothers are bringing out some very good points about contraceptives and all that. So now if you're teaching your child the right thing, say, for example, you got a daughter, you got a son, you taught them well, you got them all the way through high school, they've not been sexually active at all, you send them off to college. They're gone a few hundred miles away, and they're in school. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know what time they're getting up. You don't know what time they're going to bed. You only know what they tell you because you can't see it yourself, okay? So now there's a pregnancy, okay? What are you supposed to do then? How are you supposed to react? What are your responsibilities? And at that point, what are the child's responsibilities, and how's their community supposed to respond? Because obviously, according to this article, and I guess this is a question for you, Kazakia, there's another blurb in here. It says, the high school has done perhaps too good a job of embracing young mothers. Sex ed classes end freshman year at Gloucester, where teen parents are encouraged to take their children to a free on-site daycare center. Strollers mingle seamlessly in school hallways among cheerleaders and junior ROTC. Okay? So they're saying that this is going overboard. Since that's going overboard, what should actually happen?
That's another good question. What we're looking at here in this particular article, believe it or not, messages like this is basically, or messages like this one, are giving our children the green light to go ahead and engage in promiscuity. Okay, it could be that they don't get pregnant, but they're still sexually transmitted diseases, HIV, herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, things of that nature. But the overall point is, as much as we can as parents, we still have the responsibility of teaching and educate, which takes me back to the scripture in Ecclesiasticus. No, the brother brought it up in Ecclesiasticus 42. But also in Ecclesiasticus 7, again, when I'm getting to it, it says, hast thou children? Here it is, right. And Ecclesiasticus 7:23, hast thou children? Instruct them and bow down their neck from the youth. So now what's supposed to happen is from the child. Not start to instruct them at 13, 14 years old. So that's a bit too late. But as a child, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, instructing, teaching. And I'm not talking about just sex education at 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, but basically you're still instructing, you're still teaching, you're guiding, you're being that example for the children. And then when that time comes, to be determined by the child's parents, of course, when it's time to deal with that, that's just deal with the concept of sex and the results. That's something that also has to be taught. But the overall point is from a child, age of a child, mm-hmm. these are the things that are supposed to be taught to the child. Because contrary to popular opinion or what society promotes as being cool or proper or acceptable, according to the scriptures, things like that or what we're seeing in this article, it's not cool. It's not proper. It's not acceptable. So now what parents have to do is basically use their right or take back or establish their right as parents to teach from the home and not depend on society to teach.
Okay. Okay.
And you know what? If I may interject a point right here.
Absolutely.
That's the problem with this society. Too many people are dependent on the school systems, are dependent on TV, are dependent on too many outside influences to raise their children. The scriptures in Ephesians 6, chapter 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So what we're supposed to obey is not the school system, is not the teachers, is not the doctrine that they're teaching, because their doctrine in the school system is not the doctrine of Christ. Their doctrine is totally outside. So they can teach things like, if you don't want to get pregnant, use contraceptives. So they're basically telling you, you can be a fornicator, which when you read in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, it tells you that no fornicator shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. But if you're going to be a fornicator, the way to be safe and not get pregnant or not get a disease is by wearing a condom. That's outside of the scriptures. That's why it's not on the school system to teach our children morals. It's on us. Because you ask the question, well, what happens if they go off to college and they do this and that? Well, everyone has to make a choice. And if they go to college and they make the choice to stray away from the commandments, then they have to suffer the consequences that happens to everyone else that strays away from the commandments. Now, we're talking about teenage pregnancy as that being a risk. And sure, teenage pregnancy may be a risk, but there's also a risk that you'll go out there and die when you do those things. It could be your first time having a sexual relationship and you deal with the guy that got AIDS. Or you deal with the woman that got AIDS, and it's not going to be a teenage pregnancy, which would be mercy and give you an opportunity to get your life together. It'll be death. So the scriptures tell you in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. First, you have to have parents that are instructing you in the Lord and instructing you according to the scriptures. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The reason why you honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, is because that mother and that father that's teaching you, as a brother brought out earlier, is supposed to be teaching you according to Deuteronomy. When you rise up, when you lie down, you learn this commandment, you learn the scriptures, and so forth. It's the first commandment with promise because when you do what the scriptures say, then you live. When you look at other scriptures, there's other scriptures that tell you about what happens to those that don't deal according to the scriptures, how diseases fall among them. I'm going to get that later. but I want to stay right here. So it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So all the scriptures that the brothers brought out, like Ecclesiasticus 7 about a man marrying his daughter. Someone else brought out Ecclesiasticus 42 about the keeping a sure watch over a shameless daughter. That's bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But everyone and every man, woman, and child one day is going to have to make a choice for themselves whether they're going to walk according to the scriptures or whether they're going to stray away. Once they do such things that are against the scriptures, then the Most High has judgment and the Most High has consequences that falls upon those people for doing those things. And we're looking at teenage pregnancy, sure, but remember, there's always a possibility of it ended up in death. So we have to be very careful, and the children as well, you have to take this seriously and understand that pregnancy is a serious situation, and what happens is it's a vicious cycle. Once the lady gets pregnant, now she's not dealing according to the scriptures with their children, and the same cycle repeats itself over and over again. The way that that's going to be broken is by someone in that cycle stopping and start applying the commandments so that their children don't have to go through some of the same things that they went through.
Okay, very good. Now, that point about the contraceptives and all that, when it comes to diseases and all that, if these kids are going to get involved in it, doesn't it still make sense a little bit, at least a little bit, that you go ahead and make contraceptives, condoms available to them, especially for a disease? Okay, because very good point that the pregnancy is a less severe consequence than HIV/AIDS. Okay, so doesn't that kind of build a case for the condoms?
You know, when you go into Deuteronomy chapter 28, just on that issue about, well, let's try to protect against the disease. Now, you have to understand when you go into Deuteronomy chapter 28, you start at 58, and we could read down to 61, it's going to begin to show you that the disease is a consequence and a judgment for an action. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58, it says, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Verse 60. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Verse 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. So the scriptures are showing you that the reason AIDS, HIV, herpes, all of these diseases, because HIV and AIDS and all of that, that wasn't in the book when they came out of Exodus from the Egypt. That's exactly what the Most High has prophesied, the plagues that were not written in this book are going to cleave upon you. So the diseases are the result of a transgression of the commandments. And you can try things like contraceptives and AIDS, and those things have been promoted in our community, but you take Atlanta as an example. Atlanta has one of the highest populations of HIV/AIDS in the black community than even some countries in Africa. So it shows you that that is not going to stop the judgment of the Lord for transgressing his commandments.
Okay,
you know what? I'd like to read a scripture on that, too.
And just real quick, a condom is not stronger than the judgment of the Lord. Because many of you know, if you're men, you know that what? Condoms break, they fail, they're not 100%. So they toot this thing like, hey, it's 100% protection from all these things. But when you realize that these judgments come of the Lord, you understand that that condom means nothing. If the Most High is going to judge you for the actions that you committed, then it doesn't matter if you wear 59 condoms. The judgment is going to come upon you, and it will not fail.
Wow, that's a very, very good point there. You can't argue with that one at all. Not at all.
This one right here, and which is basically right in line with what the brother was reading in Deuteronomy. the Most High is telling us in 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, starting at verse 18. I'm going to read from verse 18 to verse 20. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So the overall point of all this is we can't sit there and teach stuff like you can go out there and have sex, just make sure you have a condom, because that's not the answer. The answer is what the scripture says right here. We got to flee, avoid fornication. Okay? And verse 20 here again, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How we do that is, like the scripture said, avoiding fornication. We're keeping the commandments. We're following the teachings of Christ. Young children, you're honoring your father and your mother. And above and beyond, your father and your mother are supposed to be teaching you these scriptures, these commandments, the teachings of Christ, so that you don't get caught up in a situation of teenage pregnancy or AIDS or herpes or syphilis or gonorrhea or anything like that. That's how you glorify the Heavenly Father with your body, by not fornicating. One way of it, that is.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, brother. I'm wondering, though, you know, it's obvious that what you're supposed to do, okay? All right, and we all got experience under our belts, you know, a few years under our belts. And when we look back, we can look back to our teenage years, and we can kind of understand what our mindset was at that time and how those same emotions worked in us and how we looked at that. Even though we may have had somebody, however insignificant they may have been in our lives, but somebody might have said a word to us that said, don't get involved in sex. It may have been something that was written down somewhere, something you saw on a television program. So on some level, you had been told not to be involved with sex until you got married. But we did it anyhow. Okay. Now, it's what I'm trying to get to, I'm trying to find some law explicitly that will state to someone, if you happen to succumb, what do you do? Because we understand that you're not supposed to do it. That's evident. Okay, we understand that condoms is not a solution. That's also very, very evident, because the judgment is going to be what it's going to be, and the condoms is not going to protect you. So if it's going to be pregnancy, if it's going to be disease, or some other consequences as a result of this action, that's what you're going to get. Okay? But is there a law that states explicitly, you had a scenario that I painted earlier, you have the teenage and the teenage daughter, they have not been involved in sex all the time they're with parents' home. Okay? They leave home, they meet up someplace at a college. These feelings start coming up. They don't handle it right. They get involved in sex. They're both virgins. They're inexperienced, well-meaning. What is supposed to happen at that point? Anybody can jump in and answer this.
Well, like the brother said, that there's always a judgment for you can wear one condom or 59 condoms. But the bottom line of it all is, when it's time for the judgment of the Heavenly Father to be rendered, that judgment will be rendered with or without the condom. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So we're teaching our children, don't go out, don't commit fornication, save yourself from marriage, etc., etc. But if that does happen, there is Christ to intervene for us. Are we still going to deal and suffer the consequences of our actions? Yeah. And whatever the judgment might be, it could be death. Who knows? That's the discretion of the Heavenly Father. But we still have an opportunity to repent. And that's the bottom line of this scripture that I'm reading right here. There is still Christ. There is still the opportunity for repentance.
Okay.
You know, and of course, you have a myriad of circumstances that will have to be taken into consideration. You know, there will be a difference between a child who was raised and reared in the commandments of the Lord and how the Lord would deal with that versus a person who grew up without the same direction. That's why, you know, even the scriptures tell you that, you know, the servant who knew his master's will and did it not will be beaten with greater stripes than a servant who did not know his master's will and how he's going to be beaten with lesser stripes. So it shows you, you know, you do have a, just like this, in this situation where the superintendent says that children are growing up directionless, you know, they end up in these situations where they, you know, married and unwed or young, you know, young mothers and things like that. It's at that point in time, it's just like the story you mentioned with that female, in a way, tried to seek repentance and turn her life around and try to go in a positive direction. That's what the young adult has to do at that point in time is repent. But the repentance that they're supposed to be doing is actually seeking the Lord and finding out, how am I supposed to live my life? I'm a young woman. What am I supposed to be thinking? What am I supposed to be doing? How are men supposed to be carrying themselves? And when they begin to seek that, in the true spirit, then the Most High is going to direct them to His Word, and they're going to be, you know, allowed to learn and grow and know what direction their life is supposed to go in from that point on.
Hello? Okay. All right, brothers. We have another visitor. This is the last three digits in your telephone number, 381. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, shalom, brothers. This is Gadawan.
Shalom, brother. How you doing,
brother? God bless everybody. Y'all doing a good show. I was listening. I had to call up. Hebrews 13 and 4. It says, this is Hebrews 13, chapter and the 4th verse. It says, marriage is honorable in all. So, you know, you have people out there, young people, that they're not taught to be married. They're taught to freak it on the weekend. But the scripture says marriage is honorable in all. And that's what, you know, is not really being taught for people to be married. So that's what the Most High is looking at, for you to get married, okay? And it says, and the bed undefiled. So when you're married, that's when it's okay for you to have sex, not experimentation. The Bible doesn't speak about that, okay? Uh-huh. Then it goes on and says, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So you want to go out there, you want to be freak, you want to experiment, you want to go and have one night stands, then the Most High is going to judge you. Just like the scriptures of brothers bringing out about the diseases and stuff, the Most High is bringing that on whoremongers and adulterers for their sins against the Most High. Now, the thing where it's like, okay, they can't contain themselves, they can't control themselves, what does the scripture say? 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and let's look at the 9th verse. It says, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is buried to for it is better to marry than to burn. So what does the scripture say? You feeling like, okay, I think I need a partner, or I need to go into my sexual desires. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to get a wife. You're supposed to get a husband. You're not supposed to be a freak or a fornicator. There's not supposed to be any whoremongers or whores amongst us. We're supposed to be righteous. But the problem is that people are not getting into that. They're going against Christ because why? They want to do those things. Another scripture says you're supposed to raise your child in the way it should go and he should not depart from it when he is old.
Mm-hmm.
So those principles and things are not being taught. I mean, how many people you see getting married and they're still virgins?
Yeah, that's a very good point that you're bringing up. But now, understand that some of these kids that are getting pregnant, they are 14, 15 years old. And I don't even know if in the state of Georgia if it's legal for you to get married at 14. You know, does anybody know about that?
No, I don't. I haven't.
Not
have a clue.
Yeah.
You're still
you know,
a minor. 16, I believe.
Right. So you know, and I guess that's probably not a fair a fair topic to address, but probably one that's more fair is someone who's 18, 19 years old. They have been raised up the right way, okay, and they get involved in sex. Okay, they've been raised up in the commandments, both girl and boy. They've been both raised up in the commandments, and they have to get involved in sex. Then what you're bringing out is that in those instances, it's clear that marriage is the answer.
Right, Deuteronomy 22. Did y'all get it? We hadn't covered that.
We didn't read it, but that's it. 22.
Deuteronomy 22. They be found. It's time to get married. You know, back in past time, you know, so-called black people, you couldn't be dealing with somebody's daughter. If it found out, they wouldn't have got their shotguns. You were going to marry her. You weren't getting away.
Either you
was running out of town, or the father, his family, they got their shotguns and marched you and his daughter down to the preacher, the minister, and you got married.
Right.
Because it was dishonorable. Marriage is honorable. Before, now it's so loose. You know, the world is increasing in wickedness and iniquity that sin has just become common. And our people, they've got a wholesale on it. They got a wholesale on it.
A wholesale on sin.
We have about another 8 minutes remaining.
Laden
like
with
to
iniquity.
Do,
that's what the scriptures say. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, what I'd like to do with the last few minutes we have remaining is just kind of go around with the people on the phone and just kind of get a brief summation on this problem and the best way to address it. And I know that's probably a difficult task to do in summary in just a minute or so, but with all five of you speaking on the same thing, I think we'll probably do a pretty good job of getting it covered. And with that said, I guess I could probably go ahead and start with Brother Kabar.
You know, I guess the thing, you know, the linchpin thing that I would say will be Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Whether a person was, you know, grew up with the understanding of the Lord or not, when they receive that inclination, is this inclination that will bring them to the point where they're understanding God and following Him. Matthew 6 and 33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And when a person do that, they will find their life in a perfect state even here on this earth.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, brother. Thank brother Kazakia.
Right. I'd like to read First Timothy chapter 3. And, you know, I'm going at this from the parental aspect of it. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So I'm using this as an example, this model as an example. Timothy 3, starting at verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Now here's the point. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So the point is to avoid these situations in which you've got teenage pregnancy, and I'm not saying every man has to be a bishop, but let's use the example that the scriptures gives us and be that example in your house, men, teaching your children, being that example, having your children in subjection to who or to what? To the commandments, to Christ in all gravity,
okay,
which means all seriousness.
Thank you, brother. Ash, would you go ahead and give us some closing remarks?
Yes. I got here. Proverbs 28 and 13. It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Sin is transgression of the law. And our people need to stop making excuses for the deviance and the mischief and the madness that they're doing through breaking God's commandments. They have to, when it is brought to them, okay, that it's the Most High's laws that they're breaking and they have a responsibility to be serving the Lord, they have to acknowledge what they're doing wrong. They have to forsake it. Then they have to turn to the Lord. Let me just read on as well. That was Proverbs 28:13. And then it says, the 14th verse, it says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So that's another thing with our people, and even sometimes amongst the ones of us who have a better understanding, we love to harden our heart and not listen to what the scriptures is telling us to do, because that's the right way to do it. And just to add on top of that, real quick, and I'll pass it on, this is Ecclesiasticus 41 and 5, because remember, we're dealing with children concerning and dealing with sin, because that's what our people are doing. They're committing sin. They're transgressing the laws of the Most High. It says, the children of sinners are abominable children, and they that are conversant in the dwelling of the ungodly. So the ones of our people that are out there, that are the, who are parents and are fornicating and committing adultery in the presence of their children are going to grow up doing the same thing that they're doing, because we have this saying that children are sponge brains, okay, and they soak everything up, and then they pattern themselves, okay, and off the people that they're around. That's why the teenagers pattern themselves off of their peers, their peer groups at school. So that's just what I want to put out there, that our people need to recognize, you know, what's going wrong.
All praises. Thank you, my brother. Brother Gadaiwan, would you give us some closing remarks?
Sure. Jeremiah 3 and 22. It says, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. So what our people have to do, they have to return back to the Most High. Then all these problems, whether it's teenage pregnancies, relationship problems, drugs in our community, whatever it is, we have to return into the Most High. And the way we have to do that is by learning the law, statutes, commandments through Jesus Christ.
All right. That's my... Thank you so much, brother. Brother Kadar, would you give, you got a closing argument for closing remark for us, brother?
Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The reason why a lot of these kids go out and they say they get pregnant is because they don't have anyone to love them. Well, that all goes back to the parents dealing with the scriptures the way it's supposed to be done. The parents are supposed to be there. The fathers aren't supposed to be leaving the mothers. They're supposed to stay together in a relationship, be married, teach the children, show the children that love that they ought to show them, and then the children, for the most part, will grow up understanding that they don't have to make a baby to love them.
Mm-hmm.
Have people that's going to love them and deal with them according to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Well, brother, thank you so much for that. And, brother, let me quickly say thank you so much for participating in the program today. But all praise is due to the Most High God. That concludes our show for today. Until next time, the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you.
Shalom, brother.
Brothers and sisters, thank you for visiting with us in the virtual living room of the Body of Christ Church. You can visit our website at thebocc.com, or you can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach.com, or call us at 877-871-1712. Until our next visit, the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. Shalom.